everyone, this is Sean Wickersham, and thank you for listening to Leaders Direct, the official podcast of the Leaders Group. We're continuing our Directors Council Profile series with Jim Raby. Jim has been with the Leaders Group since nearly the beginning and has been crucial in shaping many firm initiatives with his feedback and insight into the day-to-day business of an advisor. Some of the many areas Jim has helped develop have become staples of the company, including the President's Club and Directors Council. He was also one of the very first people with TLG Advisors and is an advocate for moving to fee-based planning. Through his years of experience, he's developed an expertise working with 401ks and other retirement plans and has helped many Leaders Group members grow this side of their business. To hear more from Jim, keep listening.
Okay, thank you everybody for joining us today with our Directors Council podcast with Jim Raby. And Jim has been a longtime member of the Leaders Group, joined the Leaders Group in October of 1998. He is working out of Mercer Island, Washington, and has been a longtime member of the Leaders Group President's Club, and out of the President's Club has been voted on to the Directors Council on multiple occasions. And we're lucky enough to get to do this podcast with Jim Raby and learn a little bit about him and his business. So thank you, Jim, for spending the time with us today. We appreciate it. First, I just wanted to get started off. Wanted you to share with us just a little bit about yourself and how you got into the business.
Okay. Well, in my previous life, I was a banker, the last 8 years of which I had been up in Alaska, financing, logging, and road construction. My largest client asked me to be a trustee on his irrevocable life insurance trust. And I said, well, what's that? And let me talk to your CPA and attorney, and I'll tell you if I can accommodate you. And so halfway through the conversation with those two guys, I said, well, shoot, that's what I should be doing. So I flew down to Seattle, hooked up with Sun Life of Canada, who was really in the business at the time, and called my boss up in Juneau and said, I'm well, I'm not coming in anymore. I'm giving you my 2-week notice. And then, I'm done. And he said, well, you mean like right away? And I said, well, I can wait till tomorrow if you like. And so I packed my stuff up in a container, had it thrown on a barge, shipped down to Seattle, and I started my practice in 1990. And I knew one person in the Seattle area. And so that's when I started my practice. Didn't know it was supposed to be as hard as it truly ended up being.
Right. And in regards to that, can you expand on how you moved down there, knew one person, but successfully was able to build and grow your business to where you are today?
Sure. Well, the one person I knew was a CPA because I had worked with them with my client up in Alaska, a different client. I had still a very strong connection with a lot of my clients up in Alaska, and pretty much they all go through Seattle, so I knew that they would at least be in the neighborhood, and I knew how to get a hold of them. And what I found was I started in the business market because I didn't know anything else. That was how I was used to working. And so that's where I started. And in working with different businesses, I came across the notion that they thought that their most valuable asset was their business, when in fact, if done correctly, their retirement plan could be their biggest asset and also the most liquid. And so I started working on retirement plans. And this would have been, right before I joined the Leaders Group, and also did some managed money. I had done some managed money up through the trust department up in Alaska. In fact, that's kind of how I figured out I could do investments, is the first year I hooked up with the trust department, we pulled in $81 million in assets. But I did get a trophy and a $5,000 bonus, but I also got criticized for not sitting at my desk enough handing out car loans. so I kind of learned that, you know, it's better to be on your own.
Right. Okay. And as you were building that business, how did you find clients? Was it just strictly going back to all the businesses that you had worked with in the former life, or were there any services that you used to help you grow?
Sure. Back then, I did go back to my former clients and picked up a number of them. But I also did direct mail to physicians and clinics and to business owners. And in fact, that's where I got my first 401k plan. Was actually, I had to help untangle one from a guy who just sold his business, and I had to help him understand, what you had to do, what we had to do to confirm that he could actually open a new 401k, because he had sold his business on a contract and could have made it so that he couldn't open a new 401k on his other business. So, direct mail, I never did the cold calling thing. I guess I was not very good at that, and so therefore I didn't do it, but just kept working through centers of influence. I would go with clients to the tax attorneys when we were doing any estate planning work. And really, that's where I started, besides the 401k market, was in the estate planning markets, with the low limits that we had at the time. Pretty much, if you met anybody, they had an estate planning need. So I'd go to the tax attorney, I'd talk to their CPA, and again, just networked through centers of influence.
Okay. And as far as today and what your business looks like today, is it primarily 401k business?
No, it's about half and half. I am, I'm still working with a number of 401ks, and I get a lot of ancillary business from that. It's part of my service agreement that I help people roll out of the plan, as well as, help keep the plan in good shape. Pretty much I use managed money for all of my rollouts. I'm a fiduciary for the plan. I'm a fiduciary for the participants. So it's seamless to them. They understand it. And I don't have any conflicts that way.
Okay. And would you say, because you are a fiduciary for the plan, that that has helped you accelerate the growth of your business? Because I seem to remember in past presentations that you did, and that's probably where you pick up your business. If you remember one thing, call Jim Raby.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty close. My line that I give at every meeting, whether it's an individual or it's in front of a group, when in doubt, call Jim. And I actually have had a number of business owners say back to me, yeah, you said when in doubt, call Jim. And so I'm calling you. And, here's the question. Here's what we got. Basically, I am a fixer. I fix things that aren't going well. The other thing that I think was very helpful in my career was I obtained the Chartered Retirement Plan Specialist designation, and that's through the American or the CFP Foundation, and the other is the AIF designation for Accredited Investment Fiduciary, and that is offered through FI360, which is now owned by Broadridge. Both very, very important things. It's, when I'm working with centers of influence, I tell them, if you've got an estate that you need some help with. I'm an accredited investment fiduciary. You know, if you ever have to go to court, you can say, well, why did you use Jim Raby? Well, he is an accredited investment fiduciary and has that designation and training.
Okay. And with your business on the 401k side, who are your top partners or favorite folks to work with as well on the RIA side?
Yeah. Well, if it's an, I do a number, I do everything from soup to nuts on retirement plans, from basic 401k plans for startups. I typically look to use the American funds for larger plans. I typically work with John Hancock Retirement Services. If I'm working with a defined benefit or cash balance plan and a 401k plan for an individual, I typically use SEI Private Trust.
Okay.
So those are kind of my three top vendors. I have some other plans with some other places, Lincoln, and yeah, pretty much those are the ones that I work with.
Okay. And then down to our final and most important question. What advice would you give someone that's either new to the business, new to being an independent advisor, or it's real early in their career? You know, if they're hoping to get to where you are, what advice would you share or give them?
Well, the first thing I would do is I would make sure that you have the AIF designation. Fiduciary designations are very important. I would encourage them when they're working with businesses or individuals that they provide an introduction to their primary centers of influence, the CPA and their attorney. And then when the client has a meeting with those to talk about your strategies, make sure that you are invited. And I always told my clients that you want me there so that I can translate what they said without you having to call them and having the bell ring and the clock start ticking. I said, if we need to, we can always call back and say, hey, you know, we don't get what you said here. But typically I can translate to them. And so that was one of my functions, is to act as the translator for, you know, some of these complex strategies and be able to put it in plain English. That gets you a lot more credibility. It gets you invited as a part of the team. And, you know, it's not an adversarial relationship anymore. It's part of implementing what's best for the client.
Okay, that sounds great. Well, that concludes our Director's Council podcast call with Jim Raby. Thank you, everybody, for listening in. I hope that was helpful. And we will see you at our next Director's Council podcast call. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.